Hey everyone, this is Grace.
And this is Justin.
You're listening to the Perspective of a Hairdresser's podcast,
where we discuss the experiences between seasoned and unseasoned hairdressers alike. Welcome to our show.
Today's episode is a little special. We have our first guest.
Yay.
Yay. She's very near and dear to our hearts, and we see her almost every day. So this should be a good one.
So yeah. Okay. So introduction for our first guest ever on the episode. Her name is Kelly Shine. She's the owner of The Wayward Hairdresser. She is also the person that we work for. And we wanted to give her a little shout out on our podcast. So welcome, Kelly.
Welcome, Kelly.
Yay. Hello. This is so, I'm so honored, like truly so honored. This is exciting.
All right. So do you want to kind of give us a little backstory of how you got into the industry?
Sure. I mean, how I got into the industry is kind of similar to a lot of folks who do hair, right? Hated school.
Yeah.
You know, and also the women in my life were pretty fabulous. My mom, you know, champagne taste, your budget.
Yes.
She used to take us to, or me specifically, because I was the most interested, to this like fancy salon called Adam and Eve. Her hairdresser's name was Steve.
I love that.
It was like 1985, you know, and my mom had a huge perm. And that's where I got introduced to Aveda products, actually.
Oh.
And then, yeah, right. And my stepmom just had like a fabulous walk-in closet. And she used to just like let us play in her walk-in closet where her makeup mirror was and all her like mousse and hairspray, fabulous high heels, and we could just like play dress up in there. And then my nan, who's my father's mother, my grandma, she took me almost every weekend with her for her wash and set, and she got perms too. And I was like the little helper. I wasn't helpful. I was a toddler, so I'm sure I was in the way, you know. But all of those kind of things, like really, I don't know, like shaped my admiration for this industry. I just felt like that's where I belonged, and I was practically born into it. So went to hairdressing school right out of high school, and I really craved independence. So why I got into this was like, I wanted to have a job where I could support myself right away. And hairdressing, like you can become a hairdresser in a very short time. So
that's true.
There I was like 20 years old, and I had my own apartment. Soon after that, my own brand new car. And within a couple of years, I made as much money as my friends who went to college. And a few years after that, I made as much as my friends who had master's degrees. So,
that's great. It happened fast. That's fantastic.
What a wholesome story. Like that's so inspiring.
Were you still in high school knowing that you still wanted to do hair? And were you still?
Literally, Justin, I was like an infant knowing that I wanted to do hair. I swear to God.
Yeah.
No, but I was in high school knowing that I wanted to do hair. And actually, I didn't get into the public high school hairdressing program, but that's what I wanted. It was so full, though. Like, I could have become a hairdresser at 17 instead of 19.
Wow.
You know, and I would have, but the program was always so full. So
yeah.
Had to pay for it, but that's okay.
Do you... I feel the same way as far as like I should have done it in high school, because knowing what I know now, I could have made it. I mean, who knows? Oh my gosh, my life would have been so different.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I did it later for sure. So I could like work out my kinks.
I'm glad for you that you did it later as well.
Everybody has a different journey, you know?
And yeah,
if
exactly.
You did
exactly.
It earlier, maybe you wouldn't have learned what you know now, or maybe you would have gotten burnt out and wouldn't have done it, you know?
That's true.
You know, also you've had like a lot of life experience before that, you know, working, Justin, you worked in hospitals and stuff before that. So that like, I feel like prepared you in a way for this industry, you know, like you've always been a caretaker.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Definitely in that environment was put me in a place where I was like, I want to care for people in a different way other than seeing their last years of life in a nursing home.
Yeah, totally. That's one thing that's so special about this, you know, like you get to be part of people's lives through every phase.
Yeah.
All right. Well, knowing what you know now, Kelly, when was the instance that you realized that you wanted to have your own salon?
Good question. I will lead with this. I said I never wanted to own my own salon. So I guess I know actually when it happened. There was one moment that happened. I was in the best job I'd ever had in my life, and I was making a lot of money and really not saving any of it. And I kind of kept on getting in trouble at work. And because my vision for what I wanted for a clientele was different than my boss's vision. And she basically, after many, many meetings of me being in trouble, mind you, I was like their highest producer, one of two highest producers out of like 40. So I was always in trouble. And this final meeting that we had was like, okay, so you should basically prepare because you've evolved past our brand. You should prepare to do something after this. So wow. She didn't fire me, but I was sure I was getting fired. I didn't get fired. But I went home and I told my now fiance, Dave, what had happened and how I had to do something. I had to just like save as much money as I could and get out of there. And so I made the decision right then and there. And I saved more money than I ever had in my whole life. And it was never enough, but that was fine. And literally like about a year later, I opened the Wayward Hairdresser.
How quick was your turnaround for them telling you that and then you putting in the time to go look at places and all that?
Oh, I didn't even, I was working there and planning the salon all at the same time.
Wow.
So I didn't quit. And I didn't really like let anybody know, but like in my mind, I was planning from that very moment. From like, it took me a year from that moment till I opened the doors, but I didn't tell anybody. Like, you know, hair salons, like if you quit, they're going to just sometimes ask you to leave right there on the spot. Right. So it was kind of a grand scheme. I had to keep it a secret for quite some time.
And I feel like that's such an old school way of, I mean, obviously I know, like I've seen people, hairstylists work for other people and have been like very shady in a way. Yeah, I mean,
yes,
but they're also in that sense, you kind of have to be shady because the old school way of doing it was very much that.
Yes, yes, it was. And I do think that, you know, the salon industry is getting better in that way. You know, I've talked to you guys because, you know, obviously we've worked together for so long that like the biggest honor would be that you guys do so well that you open your own salon, like if that's what you want. You know, like right. It doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't.
When you figured out that you had to move on from this position in the salon, mm-hmm. What was your envision for what you wanted in your salon? Like,
you know, Grace, honestly, like I wasn't really sure. I knew what I could do out the gate, right? Like I knew that I had a huge clientele. Mm-hmm. And my initial thought was, you know, put it all on paper and like see how much money you think you can produce as one person without even having hired anybody.
Yeah.
So I did that. And I was like, okay, I know that I can run this salon all by myself and like it won't close. And so I think my vision really was pretty small at that point, hire two people who I already knew and trusted. And that happened over the next year. So I knew that there would be me plus one to two other people. And yeah. That's all I knew in the beginning. And I kind of couldn't see that the salon would be almost full like it is right now. I didn't see that at all.
Did you have any pre-planning? And as far as like you putting it down on paper, like what did you, mm-hmm. How did you know what to put down?
Gosh, I don't even know how I knew, Justin. Like, I really don't. Like, I mean, I think the only thing that I knew to put down was like my statistics. And so I've been an instinctual planner with like finances and stuff my whole life. I guess I just wrote down three different scenarios. And wow. The scenarios were best case scenario, I could bring in this much money. And then this like middle of the road scenario, I could bring in this much money. And the bottom of the barrel, if everything was really bad, I would bring in this much, but I could still pay the rent.
Yeah.
And all I needed to know in my mind was how was I going to pay the rent?
Right.
And that's it. That's about as big as the plan was, honestly.
I think that is so smart because that is such like a writing it down, manifesting it type of situation.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
Hoping for the best, but also knowing that like if, you know, shit hits the fan, at least I know that I'm covered this way, you know?
I'm kind of good under pressure, so I knew I could figure it out, but I just like needed to know like bottom line what was going to happen, like worst case scenario, doomsday, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Like
yeah.
You got the shelter in your basement and you know how much food you need to eat for the rest of the week.
Exactly, exactly. We were joking about that too, that if we needed to, we could just live in the basement. You know, like we could just give up the apartment and we could live in that gross basement. Oh, slightly less gross now.
So funny.
You know what? When you were saying about manifesting, the ironic thing is everything right after I made that decision fell right into place.
I
looked at a space as a joke, like as a lark. I was like, we're nowhere near ready, but like, I need to know what this looks like. Like, how much is it really going to cost? Like, now I've decided to do this crazy thing. How much is it really going to cost? And I saw a sign on the outside of a closed salon that said for rent. So I called the phone number, and it was that tiny little salon around the corner from the salon that we're currently in. And it was super tiny and pretty expensive. I went to go see it, and I was just like, whatever. I just like want to get my head around what this looks like. Well, I go in there and it's so tiny. It's like claustrophobic. And I'm like, you know what? Never mind. I'm just going to keep looking and keep saving my money. Maybe I'm not ready yet. So even at that moment, I didn't know that I would be opening a salon a year from then.
Then
the dude was like, oh, this place is too small for you. Well, we have another salon around the corner, a full salon, much bigger, and you should go look at it with me. And I was like, well, I can't even afford this one. Like, why would I look at that other one?
Yeah.
I kid you not, I found myself within 24 hours in like a heavy duty negotiation with this person. And I don't know, I found the money. I found the money somehow. Like I had
amazing
money, but not that much. Like I was putting together like my next paycheck that I was getting from my job to put down on the salon. Like it was that tight.
But that hustle mentality is kind of, it's gotten you where you are now, you know? Like, I feel like if you didn't have that, if you were a little more timid in your ways, like, you probably wouldn't have been able to open the salon so quickly and make
the
space that we have.
It's invigorating for me. I like to gamble a little, not in casinos, but like in this kind of thing.
Yeah, just in life.
Yeah.
Give people a little run for their money.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say was one of your biggest learning experiences, like through opening your salon and now having it open for almost 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah. Oh gosh. There's so many takeaways. I think that you should never say never. Like, I'll never do this. I said I would never open a salon, period. You know,
wow.
I said a lot of nevers. I can't even think of all of them, but that's the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
Never say never. You probably will.
Yeah. Gotta have that open mind.
Everything you said you'd never do. So interesting.
And how long had you been doing hair before you decided to open your own place?
Over 20 years.
Wow. You know, it's like having kids almost. Like, I can't imagine
yeah
having kids at 28 or 30,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so, random.
You're never ready. It's never the right time.
Yeah.
For sure.
So now that you've had your salon for quite a few years, what would be something that you would tell your younger self that you wish you knew going into this? Or just like a piece of advice that you wish someone would have told you?
I think that I don't really regret any way that I did anything. I don't think that I would really, I guess the thing that I would tell myself was to be confident that I was capable. I didn't think I was capable.
Yeah. I feel like everyone always needs that reassurance, you know, like nobody has the blueprint for what their life's going to look like or like.
No, not at all. You know, Grace, like shoot your shot. You know what I mean? Like you only get one, just shoot your shot. Like that's it. You know, like there's no right time. Just do it. Just shoot your shot.
I totally agree.
I had a friend who had a really good quote. They were going through like a coaching program and their coach told them to like, they had fear of stepping out, doing something completely different. Like you stepping out from working for somebody to owning your own place, that fear puts you on a ledge a lot of times. And most people won't jump off. But the quote was, you know, just jump off and the universe will always catch you.
Honestly, like I never could have dreamt that it would turn out as good as it has.
That's so amazing to hear.
Do you feel like when you, well, any point in time that you've been, now that you're an owner, do you feel like you've had a big mess up or something that you were like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get out of this type of scenario?
There have been some scary moments for sure. I think that this wasn't necessarily a mess up, but like I was pretty terrified when salons shut down with COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that was terrifying. Actually, Justin had really just been in talks and just kind of starting to come on over to us at that point. And that was probably, that was probably the scariest time. And also, like, we felt really responsible, like, oh my God, what are we going to do with this guy?
Yeah.
Because he was like leaving his job to come to us. And that was just terrifying. I didn't know what to do. We're so glad that we made it through that, all of us. And certainly we wouldn't have Justin if certain things didn't line up the way that they did. And then, you know, there have been some other little questionable times where, like, you know, people would apply for a job and I maybe felt a little like desperate to hire somebody because there was a period where, like, I didn't even know how I was going to get anybody to work for us.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought about how I would build an employer brand. Like, what is that even, you know?
Right.
And so I just was kind of feeling vulnerable and like I had to hire like whoever wanted to work for us, which is not true. But I always circle back to our amazing team and I ask them. I don't always do what they want me to do, honestly. Like, I have to make the big decisions, right?
Of course,
but
yeah.
I ask them because really everything we have is because of our team. You know, yeah. My clients who I started this salon with are like long gone. I have like 15 clients compared to like 280 when I started of my own personal clients. So it's really them. And I always just circle back to them like, hey guys, like it's you. So like, whoever this new person is going to have to work with you guys. You're going to have to work with them. And so we make these decisions together. And I think that whenever I don't know what to do, I really just have to come back to my team.
Yeah, that's so important. I feel like so many salon owners or just like businesses in general, not even the beauty industry, don't realize like how much team morale is so important in spaces that they're just like, oh, we need another body to fill the space. And that, yeah, most of the time it works out. And oh, some people, like for other work besides your career, like us, they're like, oh, it's not that serious. But when it comes to like a small space and such like a one-on-one experience and the way we collaborate with our team, I feel like it's so important to have someone that you can, you don't have to 100% mesh with, but like at least have a little bit of chemistry there and being able to like work with each other. I feel like that's really important.
And just like having people that you can conversate with and bounce ideas off of each other that,
yeah.
I mean, like we discussed earlier episodes, how like we're all so different in that space, but mm-hmm. we all come together and we make it fun. And that's the fun that I love about it. 'Cause it's like, you know, I might do something different from Grace or Grace might do something different from me. But I'm always going to ask Grace because I value her mindset and the way she thinks or vice versa, you know. So it's really cool to have that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I spoke to a guest yesterday on the phone and this guest has come to us and she's brought all of her teenage kids to us at different times. And she's brought her mother to us and now she's bringing her aunt.
Aww.
And she said something about y'all that was like, you know, about all of us, really. That was just like, she trusted all of us. She and her family had been to 5 out of 6 of us. And
wow.
The person that she saw last time wasn't available. But she's like, who do you recommend? Like, if you're recommending to see this person, like, I trust you. I trust all of you. And it was just so like, wow, we've really built this thing together. Cool.
Yeah.
It's so fantastic. And just to see it change too, because, you know, in the beginning, it wasn't like that. I mean, obviously you had to get your bearings in order and like as a business, but like, look what it's evolved to. And it's now just like, you know, you ask any client and be like, anybody at the salon is good. Like you're going to get a good service no matter what. I mean.
And that's from the heart, honestly. Like people will fluff it up for sure. But I feel like genuinely all of us are like, oh. Like, you could go to any one of these people and you're going to have an amazing time and they're going to, like, provide you an amazing service because the workspace is just flows so well.
Well, I think that a lot of that is y'all, too, because, you know, we all are, like, we're not the same. Nobody's the same. It's not going to be the same haircut, but the level of service that we all provide is the same.
Right.
We all put 100% in every time. home run every single time, no matter what. So is it going to be a copy machine of what you had before? No. It's not.
Yeah.
But it's going to be up to a certain level for sure.
The value of the service is what's the most important.
So I feel like a lot of people don't know this, but you run your business with your partner, Dave.
Yes.
How has that experience been for you? Because I know that can kind of be a seesaw with some people. Sometimes it works out really well, and sometimes it's like a struggle. What's your personal experience on that?
Honestly, it really hasn't been a struggle. I mean, and it's mainly because Dave is so amazing.
Yeah.
You guys don't see a lot of what goes on, but I think you know us well enough, like as a couple and as a partnership. He's just like kind of a problem solver, you know? He just does not get riled up about things the way that I do. We balance each other out. I get really excited about things in a good way, and sometimes I freak out, and he's just always like steady. He's just so steady.
I love that.
It's amazing.
Do you think that him, with his background being a chef, do you think that that background pays off in this aspect because he's
100%
still in a service level type position?
Absolutely. He's really good under pressure as well. Also, he has a lot of experience managing a team, which y'all know before this, I had zero experience managing.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And he also not only had management experience, but he already knew how to do payroll and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, not like I can't do it. I know how to do it. But things that Dave does very systematically, he's very organized, would take me triple the time. Yeah. It just takes me longer because it's not my nature to do those things. So the balance is great.
Just a weight off your shoulders, because hairdressers don't do that. Like, they're, you know, the creative aspect of it.
They don't, but, like, you know, we're learning to be diverse in our skills now. You know, you're going to own a salon. You have to like, let go of the things that you're told. I know you're not saying this, Grace, but, you know, like, the things that you're like, oh, you're just a hairdresser kind of things.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when people go into business for themselves, you got to try to, like, let go of those things you think you can't do.
All the things that you've labeled yourself as, just rip those off, because you're going to transform into something totally different. Well, I think this will be one of our last questions, but what is your aspiration going forward with the Wayward Hairdresser?
Well, there's a few directions that it kind of could go. My immediate aspiration is to get everybody the life that they are wanting, get them full and booked to a point where they can have not only the money that they want, but like the schedule that they want, the type of clients that they want, to really help people hone their skills, not only behind the chair, but honing their skills in their little mini business inside of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever it is that they want to do, I'm going to help them create that. And so that's like the immediate thing. The other thing that I never, you know, never say never, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I didn't think would happen is that I think at some point we're going to have to open a second salon. And that, I think that will be quite an adventure. I'm ready for it. I don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to be a while. I'm not making any announcements right now. I can see that. I can see that on the horizon. Yeah, I don't have anything up my sleeve, guys, but I can see it on the horizon. I mean, how many chairs do we have, guys, right?
Like, yeah.
Once everybody who has been hired and everybody who is an assistant is already on the floor, then, and everyone's super booked, then we're maxed out, right? Like, and
right.
I'm not mad about that. Like, we could live like that forever, right? Like, we could just be how we are. But then, honestly, like, there's so many places, like, that don't have a situation like ours. Like, wouldn't it be cool? We have Grace lives in Queens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have Haley May, who also lives in Queens. And who else lives in Queens?
Lynn,
yes. So three people live in Queens, and all the time we have people come into the salon from Queens being like, there's a lot of salons in Queens, but there's nothing like us. So maybe.
That would be really awesome. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for being you and letting us be who we are within your business and always supporting us no matter what, with our crazy ideas. And if we're ever down,
I love your ideas.
I'm just so thankful that you are such a supporter, and no matter what, you're always going to be there for us. And that is truly super hard to find in a boss. And I'm glad that I am where I am.
Same here.
Here.
Like, yeah, it's been a little bit of a wild ride, like you said, like with COVID and everything. But honestly, yeah. It's like I told you a while back when I first started, like I could feel the potential in what you have opened and what you have created. And it's just literally snowballed into that. And to see it, like, to see it fully, like, thriving is so great.
It really is. It's, like, making me stutter. Like, I don't even know what to say, you know?
You can be speechless.
I know that.
So, do you have any closing advice or any last word that you want to take away from this episode?
You know, I tried to think of what you guys might ask me, and then I didn't think of anything to close with.
It's okay.
I really just can't wait to see what's next for us. I think that's it. I don't know, right? Like, and that's the beautiful part of it, but I think we know enough now that there's a bunch of different directions that this could go, and all of them would be great.
Exactly.
I can't wait to see what you guys do next.
So, okay. So where can people find you, and how can they follow?
So we are The Wayward Hairdresser on both Instagram and Facebook, and that's where you can find us. And I'm always the person answering the DMs, pretty much, or Grace.
Yeah, sometimes you know? Me.
So it's just us, right? Like, it's us running these things. So
yeah.
If you have any questions about, I don't know, about opening a salon, I'm not an expert in it, but I can tell you more of my story.
You can also find her in Crown Heights at 854 St. John's Place. She's always there.
Yes, it is by the laundromat on St. John's Place, Nostrand and St. John.
Thank you so much for being on our show, and we're so glad to have you be a part of the show. And we will close by saying that we hope everyone has a great day, and we'll see y'all next time.
See y'all next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our show. If you liked what we talked about, subscribe, maybe like, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.